Let's go to Matthew 20. Go to Matthew 30 and let me know how that goes for you. But go to Matthew 20. We're going to grab a couple of verses here before we land on our text. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 30. And the Bible says this, "And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." Now, go over to Mark chapter 10. You've got Mark's account of this same thing. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. And it says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the wayside begging." So again, these are two of the writers, the gospel writers' accounts of this time Jesus went. Matthew, they give us a little information different. Matthew mentions there's two. Mark and even Luke only mention one. And I got thinking about that because when Mark talks about the maniac Gadara, he's talking about one. But when Matthew mentions that thing, there were two exceeding fears. And I'm not even implying there's any contradiction. They're both seeing what impressed them. But I got to wondering, what's the deal with Matthew? Because he's coming up with, you know, an extra. And then I realized it. He was a tax collector. Yeah. He's a numbers guy. He's very specific. Amen? Take your Bible, go to Luke. Before you do that, and Mark, he names the guy. He gives us the name. So that tonight we're going to preach about blind beggar Bartimaeus, I guess. And that's really not accurate because he's not blind anymore. But Luke chapter 18, we're going to get our text from there. Luke chapter 18. And let's pick it up verse 35. See what Luke's got to say. "And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by, and he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Thou son of David, have mercy on me." I like that. Amen. There's a great movement to shut us up. To quench our joy. To silence our shout. And it's too successful. Just got to say. And I look at this guy, this blind beggar, and they tried to shut him up. He said, no way. He cried out so much the more. He's one of my role models. Amen. And verse 40, "And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. When he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus, verse 42, Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight. He got what he asked for, but he got more. Did you not get more than you asked for when you asked for forgiveness? And he said, Thy faith hath saved thee. My faith saved me. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith, right? So, amen. There's four things in verse 43 that I want to bring out and wrap this meeting up with, let's pray first. Father, again, we come to you in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for seeing fit to meet with us. And Lord, I know that there's spiritual opposition to anything that we try to do, And that's no marvel. It doesn't take us by surprise. So we pray that you help us to endure hardness as good soldiers and soldier on. Lord God, we're assembled in this place tonight to hear from you, and we're not apologized for enjoying the singing and the fellowship with one another, but we really do want to hear from you, and you gave us a book, and I pray that, God, we would hear from your book tonight. Help us, encourage us, Lord. I pray that, sadly, it's hard to say this, but I pray that you come back before I get the privilege to. God, I pray that as we get deeper and deeper into the last days, God, that we would just do what we're supposed to do and love your appearing and be ready to go or ready to stay. God, I love you. Thank you for letting us come, and I pray you bless the meeting as we wrap it up. And if there's anybody lost in here tonight, there's still time. There's somebody in here that's struggling with a sin. There's still time. The meeting's not over. We didn't finish with a singing. We finished with a message and a desire to hear from you. And God, I pray that you'd just speak and minister as necessary, thou knowing. I couldn't even scratch the surface of the needs in this place, nor would I pretend to. But you know every heart, every need. And I pray, God, that you minister as only you can. And we'll give you the glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 43, it says, now this is, let me see, it said there, I'll read 42 again. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. Verse 43, and immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Four things. Number one, immediately he received his sight. Guy's got a vision problem, he's blind. And he didn't begin consultation with an ophthalmologist to try to get to the bottom of it. I was in New Hampshire last August. Years that we're not here, we're up in Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, we're up that way. There's Christians up there too. And it's a privilege to go up there too. And we're coming across rural two-lane highways in that bus, motorhome, towing a car, and I lost vision in my right eye. It just started to get cloudy, and within a couple of days, it just went blank. And I didn't dare tell my wife because she would say, let me drive. And she could. She can drive that thing anywhere I do, but yeah, she's a better passenger than I am. So I just, I winged it. Is there a past tense for wong? I don't know. I winged it. I was careful, and I would, turn my head farther than normal to see the mirror, and, we stayed on the road. I went back to Ohio, finally got back to Ohio, went immediately to the VA and had an eye exam, and there was some kind of atypical, abnormal cataract type of growth that had covered my eye, and they weren't sure if my eye was damaged or not, but they had to cut that off to even be able to examine my eye. It was thick, and they scheduled me for emergency surgery in record time, and I got in there, and they cut the lens off my right eye while I was awake. They said, if we put you to sleep, your eyeball has a tendency to roll back, and you don't even want to know what they said could happen then, so I don't want them cutting the optic nerve. So I'm laying there, and they're talking, and I'm going, yeah, how's it going there? I'm trying to see. And they put a new lens in. I had to cancel some meetings for that. This getting old thing's getting expensive. Amen. I'm sitting there, I got an eye patch, I got eye drops, I can't do much. She's got to drive me around. She's a good driver. I don't want to leave the impression that she's not. She likes it when I'm helpless, though, because she wants to help me. For 1 week, I could do nothing. I went to church and read my Bible, but I'm not, doing much else. And I had an appointment on the following Thursday. It was in September. And she had to drive me to my appointment at the VA. And they took the bandages off or the patch thing I had to wear and did an exam. And they said, looking good. Your progress is fine. Keep doing the drops with a lot lesser frequency. And I said, okay, doc, I said, I could take the patch off and didn't have to sleep in. And I said, do I have any kind of restriction? I mean, like, would it be okay to, like, fly in an airplane and with many pressure issues. And they said, no, after 1 week, you're good. You're good to fly. And when we left the VA that Thursday morning, I said, take me to the airport. Boy, and I got to Pensacola about 4:30. Brother Turner picked me up, and I spent 4 days at the blowout that I didn't know I was going to be able to go to because one eye went blind. But Bartimaeus is blind in both eyes, and he didn't even have an appointment. He didn't even have to wait for an okay from his insurance company. He didn't even have to wait for a certain disciple to come 3 days later, like Saul did when the Lord sent Ananias. The book says immediately he received his sight. What a thing. Can you imagine seeing for the first time? Amen. Seeing color. My wife said she got saved 23 years old and was very successful in her career that was starting off and had a house in the suburbs and a Corvette in the garage and raising pedigree dogs and been accepted to law school. And in between her master's program and law school, she walked into a bookstore and told the guy, I want the best thing in here on prophecy. He reached under the counter and pulled out Dr. Ruckman's commentary on Revelation. She took it home and she got saved. Her husband got saved, who was my Bible teacher later on. And she describes getting saved for a very successful person. She didn't come out of gutter like me. She said getting saved was like going from black and white to living color. And I thought about that, and that's a pretty good way to describe it. Bartimaeus is seeing for the first time. Amen. Can you imagine see a sunrise? Have you ever seen a sunrise? It happens every day. It's early, though. She dragged me to museums. I mean, I accompany her to museums. National Museum of Art in Washington, D.C., Metropolitan Museum of Art in Manhattan. I mean, she's trying to get some culture in there. How am I doing? Thanks. And I go to these places. I go to these museums. And you know, I can appreciate art. I mean, I'm not against it. I just didn't get any of it. But I look at paintings, some of them hundreds of years old. I've been in Florence, Italy, and look at Botticelli's some paintings that are 400 years old. And they're perfect. How do they do that without computers? Well, they do. I look at things in these art museums, and you know what I see? People standing and oohing and aahing and making a big fuss over sunrises, sunsets, forests, coastlines, oceans. And I'm standing there looking at these people, and they go, oh, that's so beautiful. Oh, that person is so talented. I felt like saying, God does this stuff every single day. Maybe you should get out more. Because what man does that gets the most attention is just imitating what God does. He's seeing. For the first time, the Bible says immediately he received his sight. Things like flowers, trees. By the way, there's no tree shortage in America, trust me. Amen. That's a lie. It's a lie. How about this? You ought to be able to relate to this, especially in this church with all these little kids. How about Bartimaeus' reaction when he saw a child's face for the first time? Amen? What if it's his own child? Blind people have kids too. What if that was a result of Jesus passing by, Jesus of Nazareth passing by, telling him, restoring his sight, and immediately he received his sight. You know, it's really interesting. We had a couple gals from North Carolina come to our church years ago. They're blind, and they could sing. They needed help. They needed to be driven. They needed to be walked up the aisle. They'd get on the platform, and everybody felt so bad for them because they were blind. And they had a better spirit than some of the sighted folk, I know. But one time, one of the girls, she says, and they're ladies in their probably 40s, and she said, we feel sorry for all you. And everybody's thinking, we feel sorry for you. And it was like, you're waiting. And she says, the first person will ever see. Boy, that's bringing it home. You realize that's what happened here. The first person Bartimaeus ever saw was the one that we so long to see face to face. Amen. The Bible says immediately he received his sight. Up until this point, and I don't know how old he was, but up until this point, everything, his reality was darkness. His normal was black. It's hard to imagine living in total darkness. Amen? Darkness describes an unsaved person's spiritual condition. Zacharias, John the Baptist's father, Zacharias was told prior to his birth in Luke 1 and 79 that John the Baptist's purpose was to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Amen? In Acts 26, Paul gives his testimony to King Agrippa. He's on trial. He's bound in chains, and he gets to defend himself. Verse 2 there in Acts 26, he said, I think myself happy, King Agrippa. And I look at that, and I know Christians that can't even think themselves happy on a good day. And I think just for some, it's a personality disorder. My Bible says if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. It's okay. It's okay to enjoy some things. Amen. Just saying. Paul goes on, and boy, he jumped at the opportunity to give his testimony. Amen? I bet he didn't like thinking about it, let alone telling about it, any more than I do, or some of you. But that's what God uses sometimes to get through. And he gave his testimony how he got saved on the road to Damascus. And in verse 26, he gives his commission, what God's called him to do. And he says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan unto God. And truth be known, Satan's got the power to cause people to think they're okay, when actually they're in spiritual darkness. And no marvel, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. I just got to say, with all the grace I can muster, if you're in here tonight and you're not saved, living in spiritual darkness would describe you right now. And you probably wouldn't even realize it. So I'm telling you. But the good news is that darkness can be turned to light. And not by signing up for a program. Immediately, Jesus Christ will turn that around. Amen. First thing it said there in the verse was, immediately he received his sight. And then it says, what does it say? And followed him. In Mark's account, in Mark 10:52, you can turn there if you want. Wow. Did I get an upgrade or is that somebody else's? Is that mine? Or Caleb's? If it's Caleb's, I got to make sure there are no mustache hairs in there. Wow. If I drank that while I was preaching, we'd be having a real serious prayer at about halfway through the message, and I'd be, Brother Deke, turn me off. I got something to do. No. You know what my wife's going to say to me later? I think you had a little too much liberty tonight, Brother Spurgeon. Where are we at? Mark chapter 10 and verse 52. It says, and Jesus said unto him, talking to the blind, after he healed him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. And then what does it say? And followed Jesus in the way. Jesus just said, go thy way, go on. I asked you what you wanted. You told me. I took care of it. Go on. No strings attached. That's the way salvation is. Amen? But he didn't. He didn't go his way. He followed Jesus in the way. And the Lord will change the direction of your life in this life if you let him. Now, you don't have to, and it's a sad reality that we see people get saved, whether it's on the street or in prisons or in churches, and they just don't seem to get get going and grow it all. And that's too bad, because God's got a lot for people besides salvation, even though that's the most important thing for sure. But he sure changed the direction of my life. Amen. The Bible says he followed him. And let me just say, he didn't follow Jesus to see what he'd do next. Many did. Multitudes followed Jesus Christ all over Galilee because of the miracles he was doing, or he was feeding them here, he was raising a dead. Amen. If the news media was following around, he'd be a headline every day. He did this, this guy did that, and people are following because people are curious. But that's not why Bartimaeus followed. He didn't follow him because of what he might do for him, like many did and do, because he'd already done it. He didn't follow Jesus because he was afraid. Well, if I don't, he said I could go my way, but if I don't, what? I don't want to risk going blind again. I'm going to tell you something. Living in fear of losing your salvation is a bondage that Jesus Christ did not expect anybody to be under when he set them free. Yet many, many will hear the gospel and then they're kind of, like preacher said, dangled over hell. You got to do this, keep doing this, be there, go there, pay this. Or you might end up in hell again. You lose your salvation. I'm glad I don't. That's something I don't worry about. Amen. I'm glad God put me in a place where that was just given to me, like what the Bible says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I looked that up. I looked that word up, everlasting. It means, ready? Yeah. It means everlasting. It means forever. Yeah. It's like eternal was in there. Somewhere in a, what kind of everlasting life can you lose? I don't know what they got, but I'm glad I got what I got. Amen. Bible said he followed him. He didn't follow him because of what he might do or could do. He followed him because of what he'd already done. He followed him out of gratitude. I mean, he never dreamed in a million years that was even possible, that he might receive his sight. I think it made an impact on him. Tell you what, there was a time where David Spurgeon was in the depth of his sin, high on dope for 3 days in a row, drinking whiskey every night, fist fighting, cussing out SWAT team cops with a riot pump 2 inches from his nose, daring the cop. Didn't care. Buried 41 of my own guys, had no problem with joining them. My goal was to go out guns blazing. And boy, God changed something in me. And I'm so thankful I've never got over it. I've said in pulpits, I ain't never got over getting saved. I can't even fathom to this day that God would save a wretch like me. And I thank God for that perspective. I'd hate to think that, boy, he made out when he got me. He got a prize, didn't he? And I know Christians that act that way. They think they get a vote in everything. They think their opinion matters. No, his opinion matters. Bartimaeus followed him out of gratitude. There's a song, I have decided to follow Jesus. You've heard it? I tell you what, after getting saved, that's the second best decision I ever made. But it is a decision that has to be made. It's not automatic. Your flesh wants to do what your flesh wants to do. So does mine. And Daniel purposed in his heart. I wonder if we could bring that concept back into modern Christianity. Just bless God, come hell or high water, with God's help, I'm going to do right. I'm going to hang with those that are trying to do right. I'm going to sharpen those that want to do right. I'm going to be considerate to provoke unto love and good works, and I'm going to be on the receiving end. Because I want to do right by God because of what he did. Amen. Bartimaeus made the decision to follow Jesus Christ. So did I. Everyone should. Can we agree on that? Yeah. Everyone doesn't. Just sad truth. How about you? I acknowledge you're in church tonight. I know people that go to every night of the revival meeting. 2 or 3 times a year. And the rest of the year, they're definitely not submitted to God at all. They think they're doing their duty by. They need a time clock in the foyer to log in, log out. You're going to think you're going to show a time card at the judgment seat of Christ? I don't think so. Bible said he followed him. Immediately he received his sight. No strings attached. Lord took care of him. Thy faith hath saved thee. And what did he do in response? He did what you and I should do. He did what many of us did do. I don't know where you are in your journey tonight, but I'm sure trying to encourage you to make up your mind. Amen? Amen. Make the decision to follow Jesus Christ. You'll never regret it. And then, what happened then? Immediately he received his sight and followed him. Look what it says, glorifying God. If you remember what we read, we won't even go back, but if you remember, he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy, and they tried to shut him up. And they couldn't. And he cried out so much the more. And you know nobody's shutting him up now. Amen. He was excited about receiving his sight. Wouldn't you be? Isn't what God did for you when he saved your wretched soul even a bigger deal than restoring the sight of a blind man? Bartimaeus not only followed him, but he's glorifying God. And like I say, he's one of them loud guys. A lot of people that I run across claim to be saved. Might be. I don't know. God made it so easy to be saved, it's hard to tell. But I sure know a bunch that don't glorify Jesus Christ at all. And the truth of the matter is, they're way too excited about other things in their life. Amen? That's crying shame. Because everything in this life will let you down. And you will let others down. And the only constant there is Jesus Christ. The only thing that makes sense in this ever-changing world is Jesus Christ. The same yesterday, today. And I like that forever thing. I'm going to live forever. Did I mention that? You know that. We're talking about glorifying God. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Duncan. Can I take this home? This is a lot of water. I don't think I've ever been to a Dunkin' Donuts. I was up in Maine, and the preacher says, hey, you want to get a coffee? And I said, where? And he said, Dunkin' Donuts. And I said, when they start making coffee? And I said that because I know guys that rave about, I'm going, are you kidding me? This is restaurant coffee. I was in the Army, man. We drink coffee that had been in a 30-gallon vat for 10 hours. That's coffee. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, Paul says this to believers, like I'm talking to believers now. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. We're clear on the price, aren't we? Acts 20:28 says that the price was the blood of God. He said, you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. A little wake up call, a little reminder there, child of God. If you're saved, you belong to Him. And you got not a lot of responsibility, but it does say you're to glorify God in your body and in your spirit. So how do you glorify God in your body? By where you go. By what you do. By what you talk about. By what you listen to. By what you look at. That's how you glorify God or not. It says about Lot in 2 Peter 2, he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. And listen, I understand we're in this world. We're not supposed to be of it. Many of you men go to work. The conversation of the wicked is filthy. And some of you ladies too. And that's just how it is. And, you know, we're supposed to affect them. And we're not real careful. It'll affect us. Because even about Lot, it said, in seeing and hearing, he vexed his righteous soul from day to day. And we have to keep our guard up about that. It isn't just our adversary, the devil, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. You know, the world and the flesh are complicit with that guy. We're to glorify God in our body. And you got to be careful because there's more junk coming in than ever with all these screens and all that. But let me ask you this. Does your social media account glorify God? Or is it a portal for gossip and criticizing and undermining Christians and preachers? I've seen that. Shame on you. God's seen it too. You better get that thing right. Some people maybe don't do anything like that with their social media account. It's just so part of most of y'all's lives, not ours. But does it glorify God or you? I mean, does your homepage, I don't even know if I have the terminology right, is there a picture of what? I don't know what, the Bible? Or are you in your vacation and your favorite cereal, whatever it is? Nobody cares. Let me ask you, I'm going to put it to you like this. Do you care what somebody else had for breakfast or what their favorite toothpaste is? Well, nobody cares about you either. Amen. But most people's social media, if I'm wrong, I'm probably not, just has to do with them, their favorites or their families, and not wicked stuff, but does it glorify God? Ever! And what it seems like, it could be a great resource to do just that. But the devil boy's got away, doesn't he? From television and radio and every other thing man ever invented. It's something that could be used. And in some cases, that's been used for God. It's generally mostly not. Well, we can't do nothing about them, but what about us? What about you? Bible says most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. And look to me like that pretty much what goes on social media. It's all about the individual. But the verse goes on and says, but a faithful man who can find? Well, what's the context? Well, it sounds like faithful to glorify God to me. Bartimaeus did. He received his sight immediately and he followed him, glorifying God in his body, because that's what we're reading about. But it said, Paul said, and in your spirit. Galatians 5 and 26 says, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Physical sins defile the flesh and damage your testimony, but what about spiritual sins? What about pride? What about envy? What about bitterness? What about covetousness? Those things will defile your spirit. And it shows, it comes out. Amen? You might even think you're faking it better than you are. But there's something going on with believers about the Spirit bearing witness. And the Spirit of God, if he's in there and you're not where you should be, you're not right as you should be, as you know to be. I understand young Christians. I understand growing. I understand. But if you know what's going on, the Bible says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. There's a witness against you when you get around other believers. And we'll smile and say we'll pray for you. But if you think you're fooling people, you're deceiving yourself. Does your spirit glorify God? Maybe I could say your attitude. Or are you one of those ones that's always critical? That is a tip off that you're in the flesh, Jack. Bible says that in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1, having therefore these promises, boy, we got them too. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Bartimaeus glorified God in his body and in his spirit, first with praise unto God and then with a thankfulness that caused him to follow him. If he did, shouldn't ours? Well, answer my own question. It absolutely should. You should go if you're saved. Now, if you're not, have you been at this any time at all? And you're grasping what I'm saying? And if you're not, I'm surely not rebuking baby Christians. If there's one thing I can say, that not only my preacher, but many other men of God that I got exposed to early, including Dr. Ruckman, Brother Donovan, other people, they were very gracious and patient with a kind. I know it's hard for you to imagine this, but in the beginning, I was a little rough around the edges. I know, it's hard to imagine. Yeah, 35 years, you know, she's working. Pray for her. Amen. We should have patience with one another, but wonder what would happen. I wonder if we could turn the world upside down if we would follow Jesus Christ, glorifying him. And the Bible says, immediately received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And then the verse finishes, and I will too, with this right here. It said, and all the people, when they saw it, people see it, gave praise unto God. People notice when things really change. Again, 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible said, if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. The greatest witness there is isn't your slick ability to recite the soul winner plan. The Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons got their doctrine down better sometimes than we do and have more boldness. But I'll tell you what, no cult can imitate. They cannot imitate a sure enough new creature in Christ, because no religion makes you a new creature in Christ. And Jesus Christ, that's what he does, and people notice. And you can't deny it. They'll watch, they'll be critical, they'll be skeptical. The longer, the people that knew you the best, your old friends, your family, they'll be your biggest critics. They'll be take the longest to convince that what you claim is real. Okay, so what? Just as long as it takes, what difference does it make? They can't, unless you're faking it. Bartimaeus followed Jesus Christ. He glorified God. And the Bible says people not only saw it, but it caused them to praise God. We're talking about a man that went literally from darkness to light. In 1 Peter 2, go there. I think this is the last one for you to turn to. Which is probably disappointing to a church like this. I know you're familiar with your Bible. You read your Bible. It's obvious. But 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 says this. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. And why? It says right there. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And that's a pretty good description of what happened to you when you got saved. You got called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And beloved, your life should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness. And it is encouraging and exhorting to other Christians. But your life should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness to those that are still in darkness. And there's plenty of work here, abroad, in a changed life. The new creature is the greatest testimony, the greatest witness there is. And we've got the privilege of getting in on that. Amen? I'm going to wrap it up with three questions. Are you saved? Yes. Might be somebody in here that, truth be known, still in spiritual darkness. Well, if you didn't get anything else tonight, get this. There is a remedy for that, and it is immediate. and it's acknowledging something you know already, and God knows, and you're a sinner, and you deserve to go to hell. How could you say that? Give me a break. When that Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, you get over to Revelation 21, and you'll see that the glory of God is Jesus Christ. Now, you're not even in the same league. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can't earn it, but you can receive it. And if you're not saved, you say, well, I don't understand all that. Okay, we get it. We got a bunch of people in here that'd be happy to open a Bible. We got teenagers in here that could lead a person to Christ. Amen. Don't go. If you got a question, ask it. We'll be happy to help in any way we can. From the book. Question number two. If you aren't saved, are you following him? And again, okay, you're in church. Sunday night. Some of you have been here ever since Wednesday. Tomorrow you get a new chance to follow Jesus Christ. And you should. Right? It's reasonable. If you're not a child of God, who are you following? Because somebody's got your attention. Something's got your attention, your affection. I hope it's not some internet kook. Oh, yeah, man. They're out there, and they're slicker preachers than me. But they're not sincere. I'm sincere. I don't want nothing. I got nothing to gain by what you do with what you hear. I'm here for him. Amen. He's here for you. Amen. If you'll let him be. Let me ask you this and I'll be done. Done for the week. Does your life glorify God? Or is it all about you? That thing in James chapter 1, if you're a hearer and you hear it and a doer, you're like a person looking in a mirror. And what do you see in the mirror? Me. We're in the me, me, me generation. And you behold yourself and go off, straightway forget what man or man you are. And we live in a day and age where too many Christians are just guilty of being self-consumed. And this victim mentality is infected the church of the living God. And now instead of stepping up to the plate and enduring hardness and overcoming obstacles, we've just all searching for a reason to claim victimhood. And they'll be happy to give you a little 3 or 4 letter designation and even medication. Listen, I was a dope addict for 20 years and a drunk, and I didn't go. The only program I went through was the one step. I stepped down into the presence of the King. Amen. And everything changed. And I ain't never been the same. And he's still in business. What you need is a closer walk with him. What you need is like the song. You need to get nearer to God. Draw nigh to God and he will. It's not an application. It's not a hope. It's a promise. Amen. We got work to do in the days and weeks. And I hope it's not years, but it might be. Before he comes. But we know he's going to be on time and we know what we're supposed to be doing. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's our commission. Let's all stand. Thank you for a good week. Many kind comments. Thank you more than anything else for just being receptive to the Word of God and making it easy. Easy to preach. God likes it. And I'll tell you what, you can't go wrong pleasing Him. Preacher's going to come. Anna's going to play. You need to come. Like I said, if nothing else, church, you've been fed for 5 days straight. There's a challenge. We got, the world ain't got any better since we've been in here, but maybe we have. Maybe just for not no other reason and purpose in our heart to ask God to help us keep the main thing until he comes.